Chapter 57. Scene 3, Paris. The Tuileries, the anteroom to the Empress Marie-Louise's bedchamber, in which are discovered Napoleon in his dressing gown, the Duchess of Montebello, and other ladies-in-waiting. Corvisart the first physician, and the second physician Bordier. The time is before dawn. The Emperor walks up and down, throws himself on a sofa, or stands at the window. A cry of anguish comes occasionally from within. Napoleon opens the door, and speaks into the bedchamber.
Napoleon, how now, Dubois? Voice of Dubois the Accoucheur, nervously.
Less well, sire, than I hoped. I fear no skill can save them both.
Napoleon, agitated.
Good God!
Exit Corvisart into the bedroom. Enter Dubois.
Dubois, with hesitation.
Which life is to be saved?
The Empress, sire, lies in great jeopardy. I have not known in my long years of many featured practice an instance in a thousand fallout so.
Napoleon, then save the mother, pray. Think but of her, it is her privilege, and my command.
Don't lose your head, Dubois, at this tight time. Your furthest skill can work, but what it may.
Fancy that you are merely standing by a shopwife's couch, say, in the Rue Saint-Denis. Show the aplomb and phlegm that you would show, did such a bed receive your ministry.
Exit Dubois.
Voice of Marie-Louise within.
Oh pray, pray don't.
Those ugly things terrify me. Why should I be tortured, even if I am but a means to an end? Let me die. It was cruel of him to bring this upon me.
Exit Napoleon impatiently to the bedroom.
Voice of Madame de Montesquieu within.
Keep up your spirits, madam. I have been through it myself and I assure you there is no danger to you. It is going on all right, and I am holding you.
Voice of Napoleon within.
Heaven above. Why did you not keep those cursed sugar tongs out of her sight? How is she going to get through it if you frighten her like this?
Voice of Dubois within, if you will pardon me, your majesty, I must implore you not to interfere.
I'll not be scapegoat for the consequence if, sire, you do.
Better for her sake far would you withdraw.
The sight of your concern, but agitates and weakens her endurance.
I will inform you all, and call you back, if things should worsen here.
Re-enter Napoleon from the bedchamber. He half shuts the door, and remains close to it listening, pale and nervous.
Bordier, I ask you, sire, to harass yourself less with this event, which may amend anon. I much regret the honored mother of your majesty, and sister too, should both have left here now, whose solace would have bridged these anxious hours.
Napoleon, absently, as we were not expecting it so soon I begged they would sit up no longer here.
... She ought to get along. As he has help enough with that half dozen of them at hand within skilled Madame Blaise the nurse, and two besides, Madame de Montesquieu and Madame Ballant,
Dubois speaking through the doorway,
past is the question, sire, of which to save. The child is dead, the while her majesty is getting through it well.
Napoleon, praise heaven for that.
I'll not grieve over much about the child.
... Never shall she go through this strain again. To lay down a dynastic line for me.
Duchess of Montebello,
aside to the second lady,
he only says that now. In cold blood it would be far otherwise. That's how men are.
Voice of Madame Blaise within,
doctor, the child's alive.
The cry of an infant is heard.
Voice of Dubois,
calling from within,
sire, both are saved.
Napoleon rushes into the chamber, and is heard kissing Marie-Louise.
Voice of Madame Blaise within,
a vigorous boy, your imperial majesty.
The brandy and hot napkins brought him to.
Duchess of Montebello, it is as I expected.
A healthy young woman of her build had every chance of doing well, despite the doctors.
An interval.
Napoleon,
re-entering radiantly,
we have achieved a healthy air, good dames, and in the feat the Empress was most brave, although she suffered much so much, indeed, that I would sooner father no more sons, than have so fair a fruit tree undergo another wrenching of such magnitude.
He
He walks to the window, pulls aside the curtains, and looks out. It is a joyful spring morning. The Tuileries gardens are thronged with an immense crowd, kept at a little distance off the palace by a cord. The windows of the neighboring houses are full of gazers, and the streets are thronged with halting carriages, their inmates awaiting the event.
Spirit of the years whispering to Napoleon, at this high hour there broods a woman nigh, here in Paris, with her child and thine, who might have played this part with truer eye to thee, and to thy contemplated line.
Napoleon, soliloquizing,
strange, that just now there flashes on my soul, that little one I loved in Warsaw days, Marie Waluska, and my boy by her. She was shown faithless by a foul intrigue till fate sealed up her opportunity. But what's one woman's fortune more or less beside the schemes of kings? Ah, there's the new.
A gun is heard from the Invalides.
Crowd, excitedly, one.
Another report of the gun, and another, succeed.
Two. Three. Four.
The firing and counting proceed to 21, when there is great suspense. The gun fires again, and the excitement is doubled.
22. A boy.
The remainder of the counting up to 101 is drowned in the huzzas. Bells begin ringing, and from the Champ de Mars a balloon ascends, from which the tidings are scattered in handbills as it floats away from France. Enter the President of the Senate, Cambaciers, Berthier, Lebrun, and other officers of state. Napoleon turns from the window.
Cambaciers, unstinted gratulations and goodwill we bring to your Imperial Majesty, while still resounds the superflux of joy with which your people welcome this live star upon the horizon of history. President of the Senate, all blessings at their goodliest will grace the advent of this new Messiah, sire, of fairer prospects than the former one, whose coming at so apt an hour endues the widening glory of your high exploits with permanence, and flings the dimness far, that cloaked the future of our chronicle. Napoleon, my thanks, though, gentlemen, upon my soul you might have drawn the line at the Messiah. But I excuse you. Yes, the boy has come. He took some coaxing, but he's here at last. And what news brings the morning from without? I know of none, but this the Empress now trumps to the world from the adjoining room. President of the Senate, nothing in Europe, sire, that can compare in magnitude therewith to more effect than with an eagle some frail finch or wren. To wit, the ban on English trade prevailing, subjects are merchant houses to such strain, that many of the best see bankruptcy like a grim ghost ahead. Next week, they say in secret here, six of the largest close. Napoleon, it shall not be. Our burst of natal joy must not be sullied by so mean a thing. Aid shall be rendered. Much as we may suffer, England must suffer more, and I am content. What has come in from Spain and Portugal? Berthier, vaguely voiced rumors, sire, but nothing more, which travel countries quick as earthquake thrills, no mortal knowing how.
Napoleon, of Messina?
Berthier, yea. He retreats for prudence's sake, it seems, before Lord Wellington. Dispatches soon must reach your majesty, explaining all.
Napoleon, ever retreating. Why declines he so from all his olden prowess?
Why, again, did he give battle at Busaco lately, when Lisbon could be marched on without strain? Why has he dallied by the Tagus Bank?
Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.